We've been going chapter by chapter through the book of James. If you're new with us, we like to study the Bible in series. We like to do it on topical type series where we take a topic and we just see what the Bible has to say about that particular topic. But a couple of times a year, we take a book of the Bible and we just walk chapter by chapter or verse by verse through that book just to see what the writer is trying to convey to us just through the chapters. So we're doing that through the book of James. And if you haven't heard any part of the series, the book of James is written by James, the brother of Jesus. So it's not a disciple. It's the brother of Jesus who was converted after the resurrection of Jesus. So he's the half-brother of Jesus. He's converted after the resurrection. He's a pastor in Jerusalem. And he's writing to the church that's been dispersed across the world. There's been persecution in the church. And so the church has been dispersed. They've been kind of just spread out across the known world at the time. And James is writing a letter to them. And it's full of just practical wisdom on how to live the Christian life. He writes it to Christians. So it's to a church just like us. He's writing it to all these Christians. And he's giving them practical wisdom on how to live the Christian life. And so James is just full of very hard-hitting ways that you can live out your life as a Christian. And so in week one, we talked about trials and how when we walk through difficult times in our life, we walk through trials, that God is using those things to shape our character. James is saying, when you walk through those things, count it as a joy because God is shaping you into who he wants you to be. And then last week in week two, we talked about discrimination and how it has no place in the church. And so we walk through that. James in chapter 2, he talks about how we treat those in our lives and those in our world and around us. And so I hope you're allowing this to change the way that you live. I hope that it is convicting you in some ways in the way that you live. Because week 3, chapter 3 in James is another hard-hitting message from James. It's another hard-hitting thing. And so some of you are saying, you know, enough with the practical, give me theoretical, right? Just give me the abstract. Let me just have that kind of like just kind of higher, you know, just kind of give me deep stuff. James is saying, hey, this is how you should live. This is how God is calling you to live. And so today we get to talk about our words. And everyone said, hallelujah, right? Everybody say, amen. We get to talk about our tongue, about the things that we say. And I think you'll probably find, as I have been convicted in preparing this message, is that it deals with every single one of us. This is not I'm just going to preach to a small subset of the people. This deals with every single one of us this morning and the things that we say. So we'll just jump into it. James chapter 3 and verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers. He's kind of an odd thought he starts the chapter with. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So I feel that more people, you should go into the ministry. I think it's an awesome thing. I think that it's almost become kind of a trendy thing. You know, I'm doing this as ministry. I'm doing that. Well, if you do, this is what you have to look forward to, everybody. You will be judged more strictly. But then here's the message for the rest of us today, all right? And that is verse 2, that we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. So there's several things that James talks about in this chapter, but the first thing that he kind of lays out for us is he tells us that there's all different ways, especially in the words that we speak. That's what the chapter is tuned towards. There are a lot of different ways in the words that we speak that can cause us to stumble. And we're probably going to find ourselves in at least one of these ways. In the ways that James lays out for us, you're probably going to find yourself in them. So we're going to take a look first at those different ways, and then we're going to see how James says how we can fix it. How we can fix what we've fallen into, how we can tame the tongue, how we can fix what we say. So he starts off, hey, we all stumble. And the word stumble there is the Greek word for sin. And we all miss the mark. We all mess up. And the context in this chapter, like I told you, is the words that we speak. We all mix the mark in some way. So the first thing I want you to jot down today, and that's the first thing, is our words are hard to control. If you're taking notes, our words are hard to control. The things that we say, every one of us stumbles in the things that we say. And the truth is, there are a lot of different ways that we stumble. We gossip and we slander and we lie. How many say hallelujah this morning? That's speaking, right? We flatter people and we boast and we're highly critical of people. Or maybe for some of us, we're not saying things that we should say. For some of us, there are things that we should be saying that we're not saying. And reality is, it's hard for us to control this area of our lives. This is probably the hardest, if not one of the hardest parts of our lives that we can control. And we get tripped up by the words that we speak. A lot of times we get tripped up. And James starts it off with, man, this is a really hard area. This is tough to get under control. And he goes on in verse 2. And he says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So two things he's saying to us in this part, and that is the word perfect here does not mean without sin. It's the word that means complete or mature. The word perfect in this verse is saying complete or mature. He's saying if you're able to control your tongue, then you have achieved maturity. Then you've achieved completeness. In fact, if you have that maturity, then you're able to keep the rest of your body in check. And so he's saying that the tongue, it's this gateway. It's saying that this is the indicator of the health of the rest of your body. He's saying this is an indicator of other things going on in your life. And jot it down this way, and we'll talk about this. Our words display our maturity and our health. Our words display our maturity and our health. A little bit of conviction this morning. The words that we say help people see how mature that we are. The words that we say, and we probably know that to be true if you've ever raised children. My son, Liam, he's our four-year-old. We have three kids at home, and he's our four-year-old, and he just loves to make people laugh. But unfortunately, Liam, as you would probably guess, is very, very immature because he's 4 years old, all right? But and he has found that in order to make people laugh, he has found a rule about that, is that if you add the word poop to anything, it gets a laugh from people, right? Case in point right here. I don't know, you immature. I don't know who you people are this morning. But he found that if he adds that to any, just about anything, hey, Liam, what you got there? You got a sandwich there? Yeah, it's a poopy sandwich. I'm like, all right. So if he tells one of you a poop joke, all right, just help me out here and just tell him, Liam, you need to keep those jokes at home, okay? Just keep those. You can laugh, but then tell him to keep those jokes. Help me out in this, all right? But when you talk to somebody, it's very easy within a few minutes to realize their level of maturity because of the words that they say. In the same aspect, he says, now, if you could be mature in your tongue, if you find somebody who's mature, you'll find somebody that can hold their tongue and say the right thing, then they are mature in the rest of their life. They are mature in the rest of their body. You see, it's not only a sign of maturity, it's also a sign of health. It's also a sign of spiritual health because what you say reveals to people how healthy you actually are. Come on, somebody, it's quiet in here this morning. The reality is a lot of us are fairly unhealthy in our souls. A lot of us are fairly unhealthy, and I pray we can help you that. In fact, if you go to a doctor for a checkup, one of the first things they check is your tongue. It's a sign of physical health, a sign of indicator of other things that might be wrong in your mouth and in the rest of your body. It's a sign, and still in the spiritual the same way, it's a sign, an indicator of spiritual health. The words that you say display your spiritual health. They're an indicator. And so we talk about the things that we say. Like if you've ever been in line at the post office or at Walmart or wherever it is, and you're just trying to kill time, right? And you're saying, well, let me just have a conversation with my fellow human being. And you just want to, you know, just start talking to the person in front of you. And you're just killing time, right? It's great. Just talk. I don't know. It's great weather outside. And we've been having a good time. And, you know, I know that cold spell came, but now it's warm again. Praise Jesus, right? You're just talking. And they say, yeah, that's great and all, until the government ruins our lives. And you just... It's like, whoa, is there somebody behind me I can talk to, right? Is there somebody else that I can have a conversation? And you think, I didn't do that, right? I'm just trying to have a conversation, just trying to kill time, man. I didn't start that. That was already inside of you. Like you say, I didn't press that pressure point. I didn't do that to you, but it's a sign of what's already inside. The words that we say are a sign of our spiritual health. And the truth is, when we get into these areas with our words, it's because we're unhealthy. Like we gossip because we want to feel important and we want people to know that we know something that they would like to know. And so we say those things so they'll think better of us. Or we exaggerate because we want people's validation or we want to impress somebody. Or we say these things. I worked for a campus ministry one time and we did these outreaches on a campus where we were just trying to get a bunch of people to show up. And so we did it right after a concert, right outside. We had food and plates and all this different stuff. We just wanted a bunch of people to show up. And they did. It was a pretty good crowd. But the problem was nobody could figure out how to count the crowd. Nobody could figure out a way to count these sections. It was kind of spread out over this grassy area. And so everybody had a different method. And one person said, well, we can count how much pizza was eaten, which was just a terrible way to count it. But because I saw people running off, you know, with boxes of pizza to their dorm rooms. It was just, you know, running. And then one person was like, we can count how many plates people took. And, you know, that was just no way. And so nobody could figure out a method for it. And what happened, though, after, we kind of came out with a consensus, somewhere between 400 and 600 people at this event, all right? So it's somewhere in there. And the problem was our PR guys that night went and wrote, and the next day in the paper it came out and it said, thousands attend this SLC lawn party. And I remember the first meeting we had after this paper article, and the guy who was kind of sponsored it, he had the paper article, and he was like, guys, you got to go retract this, because that's just a straight-up lie. Like, you can't say it. The guy who actually wrote it was like, well, I rounded up. And he's like, you can't round up 600 people to thousands come. You can't round up that. And he went on to work for several political campaigns, I'm sure. All right. So, but we wanted people to think that we were making a difference. We wanted people to feel like, hey, we were making this huge difference. And so he put on those. Problem is, we get into these times of prideful boasting or manipulating people. And it's because we're not okay. It's because we're not spiritually healthy that it displays itself in the words that we say. Displays itself. When we get healthy, when we figure this thing out, when, as James is going to teach us, when we tame the tongue, it turns out we don't need all these things all of a sudden. We don't need all of these indicators, these things that are showing that we're spiritually unhealthy. We don't have to reshare every nice thing that someone says about us with a little hashtag underneath it, right? So humble that you would say that. But not you know, so prideful so that I want everybody else to see it, so I'm going to reshare it or retweet it to everybody in my world. We don't need that kind of validation anymore. We don't need to exaggerate or to do these things because we need it. We don't need those things. When we're healthy, our heart is healthy. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit later. But he goes on in verse 3. And he says, when we put bits in the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. And so he's talking about how the tongue, how small it is, but the impact it can have. In verse 4, take ships as an example. Though they're large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And so again, a small thing that the tongue is, but it helps to direct this huge ship. And then verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. So not only does what we say display how healthy and mature that we are, it's also setting the course for the direction of our lives. So the tongue is not just showing an indicator of our spiritual health. It's not just showing an indicator of our maturity, of our completeness. It's not showing just an indicator of that. It's also setting the course. It's a rudder that sets the course for our lives. It sets the course for the ship. And my concern is that many of us are getting to a place where we're saying and we're setting a course for our lives that we actually don't want to go down. We're saying things and we're setting the course for our lives in different ways that we actually don't believe. We're saying things that we actually don't want to get to, direction that we don't want to go. But the truth is that we're setting that direction for our marriages, for our families, for our careers, for our finances, for our kids. We're setting that direction with the things that we say. And the Bible says it's a rudder. The Bible says it's a bit that turns. It's a setting the course and direction for our lives. And so here's a little practice that I'm going to give you. And I read this one. I really liked it. I think we need to revive it in our lives. And that is, every time that you make one of these statements, every time you say something, you should end it with, and that's the way I want it. And you could say, if you want to, all right? You could do that word. But when you start to make these declaratory statements, you should end it with, and that's the way I want it. When you say, like, we are going bankrupt and we're never going to get out of this debt, and that's the way I want it. Or when you say, my kids are far from God and they're never going to get back in church and they're never going to get it right and they're never going to, and that's the way I want it. And we start to make that, it will change the way that you speak. When you start to make those statements, you say, this is how I am. I'm overweight and I'm never going to get back in the gym and I'm never going to get my life back the way I think it's going to be. And that's the way I want it. When you start to say those phrases, when you start to say, it will change the way that you speak. Because the Bible says the tongue is setting the direction of your life. The tongue is setting. The reality is the words that we speak are directing the course of our lives. And here's the principle, if you want to jot it down, if you're taking notes. If you want to see it, you got to learn how to say it. Now, this is not name it and claim it, off the wall type of voodoo. I'm just saying that if you set the rudder of your life towards the rocks, you will hit the rocks every single time. If you set the course, the direction, if you set it towards danger and you set it towards criticism, you set it towards cynicism and you set it towards these things, you will hit that every single time. If you want to see it, you got to learn how to say it. The Bible says the tongue is the rudder. The tongue is what changes the direction. The tongue is what sets the course. And so I would encourage you to find a promise from God's word. Find a promise from God's word and begin to say that. Instead of speaking your own words, which are probably sabotaging your marriage and sabotaging your life and sabotaging your kids and sabotaging your career and your finance, instead of letting your own words kind of sabotage that, find a promise from God's word and begin to speak that over your life. Let's start speaking God's word over our lives, promises from him. So the next time you want to say, well, I'm bankrupt and I'm never going to be able to meet that, or I'm never going to be able to have that, I know my finances, you begin to say, I know that God's word has promised that even though my finances are thin, he shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Or you say, well, I know my kids are idiots and they're getting off with the wrong crowd and they're doing, but the Bible has promised that me and my household will be saved and they will find salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. You begin to proclaim those promises of Jesus and the Bible over your life and you set the course. Bible promises. Come on, somebody, we got to change the words that we speak. We got to change the words. Back to our text. He says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So he's saying that even though you don't think it's a big deal, you can set a whole forest ablaze with just a small spark. He says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James does not mince words here, all right? This is very strong. What I want to see, the point is that he's making our words can destroy our relationships. Our words can destroy everything that we hold dear. You might think it's a small thing. You might think it's not an important thing, but your words can destroy everything that you hold dear in your life, everything that you care about. And it's destroying these things. And so the hell itself fills our mouth when we say these words that we really, really want to say. We really, really think we should be. And we need to be reminded of that when we're driving ourselves into conflict. Because when you're headed home after work and you're saying, well, I'm going to say this. And if they say that, well, I'm going to say this. And then I'm going to say that. And if they come back with this, well, I've got three things that I'm going to say. When you're about to say those things, or when you're having confrontation with your kids and you're like, I'm just going to let them have it. I'm going to say everything that's on my mind. It's probably a good idea to remember that those words don't come from Jesus. All right, everybody, that's probably a good idea to remember that your tongue is being set on fire by hell itself. And so when you say, well, I'm just going to let them have it. I'm going to give them everything that I'm thinking of right now. Or you're driving along, you're taking a shower or something, and that thing comes in your mind. You're like, ah, that's what I can say. And then you go out there, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to say those things. Remember that your tongue is set on fire by hell itself. And when you say those things, it's not coming from heaven, and it will destroy your relationships. It will destroy the things that you care about. And if you really pause for a minute and you think back over those times in your life that you did say what you thought you should say, you really did say, you really let them have it. There was never a moment in the middle of that confrontation. There was never a moment in the middle of that fight with your kids where they just said, you know what? I am a horrible person. You are right. I am so glad, Father, that you have told me about those things, and I will now grow up to be a well-adjusted adult and a good member of society. I appreciate you telling me those things about myself. There's never a moment there when you said it, where your spouse looked at you and you said, you know what? You're right. I have never taken out the trash. Never in our 50 years of marriage have I ever taken out the trash. You are so right. Never have I complimented you. You are right. Never have I said anything nice about you. Never have I ever loved you. You're right. When you tell me those things, I am so happy that you have demeaned and criticized and told me these things this morning. That they say, never have I done those things. And now our marriage will be on a healthy trajectory because you have said those things to me. That's never happened. I promise you. When you say those things that you say, well, it's just in the back. I just got to say it. Never has it turned out well for you. All right, everybody. Never, ever has it turned out. Remember this, Proverbs chapter 18. The tongue has the power of life and death. There are two things that are happening every time that you say words, every time that you speak, every time that you enter into a conversation. Two things are happening. You're either giving life or you're taking life. There is no neutral. You don't have the ability to be neutral in your conversations. You're either giving life or you're taking life. The tongue has the power of life and death. You either add value to people or you steal value from people. Remember that when you say things, when you enter into these conversations, remember, you're either adding life or you're taking life. And you got to know the knowledge to know the difference between the two. To know that when you go into every interaction that you have, you either are allowing your tongue to be set on fire by hell itself, or you're realizing I can give life in this situation. I can add value in this situation. And the problem is a lot of us are speaking death over our marriages. We're speaking death over our lives. We're speaking death over our children. Over our careers, we're speaking death, 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 because we're allowing our tongue to be set on fire by hell itself. And then we wonder why things aren't working out. We wonder why things aren't going the way that we thought they would go, the way that it went in my mind when I played this situation and I played this argument. It's not going the way that I thought it was going to go. And we wonder why that is when we've already allowed our tongues to be set on fire. The reality is, James tells us, remember, your tongue is a very dangerous instrument. It's small, but with a small spark, it can burn down a forest. And so I believe that in these next few verses that James gives us, the way that we can fix that, the way that we know that we found ourselves in those situations. So how do we fix it? And so we'll skip to verse 9. It says, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. So with our tongue, we praise God, and then we curse human beings. We criticize. The Bible says, that's not how it should be. A lot of times we come into a situation like this, a church service, and we just started with, oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we sing those songs that get put up on the screen, and they're just full of praise and worship. And we just lift our hands and we praise. And then we get into the car and we say, you filthy, horrible person. You did this and you do that and you do. And the Bible says that's not exactly what God intended. That's not what God had in mind when he had this. He said, we praise God with one breath, and then we criticize and we say these horrible things. Isn't it interesting how we say these things to the people in our lives, these horrible things that we would never say to God. And yet we say them to the people. And the Bible reminds us that they're made in God's likeness too. They are children of God as well. And yet we're willing to throw these things at them and to hurl these horrible, horrible things. And we come to church and we have a wonderful time. And we do all these things. And then some of you wait until you get off the property, right? You wait until you cross that line at Flannery Road. And that's where you're like, some of you don't even wait till you get off the property. You're driving out and it's just bleepity bleep bleep. Somebody blocked the overhang at the fellowship hall and I got lunch to get to. Come on, some of you are too holy this morning, all right? Some of you are being, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you get in the car and you got that road rage, right? And you're just, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've ridden with a lot of you people, all right? I know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not making stuff up out of the abstract this morning. You bless God with the same mouth that you curse people. We're at home and it's the end of the day, right? And you're just in a fighting mood because you've been fighting with everybody at work all day long. So you get home and it's just the next, and that ding goes off on your phone. You get another text from Amazon, right? Amazon Prime is going to run us dry. And you're just thinking, what did you buy now? What did you spend our hard earned money on? And you just look for ways to let your tongue get set on fire. You just look for ways for conflict. And then you go all later into the evening and you're just thinking, well, I can't believe that you said that you would do this and I can't. And you've just been waiting all day to kind of unleash it. And then the phone rings and it's your small group leader and we're just, hello. Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Of course. Oh, no. We'll be there. Oh, yeah. We praise the Lord. Yeah, we'll be there. I would love to give my testimony. I would love. Oh, no. We'd love to share that. And then you hang up and say, rah-rah, you hoffa, you can. And we bless God with the same mouth that we curse people. And the Bible says that should not be. This should not be. James is hitting us right where we live this morning. I don't know about you. I'm convicted when I was doing this one this morning. I got a lot of fixing to do. Verse 2, he started off with that reminder, though. Hey, everybody, we all stumble. We all sin in these areas. We all stumble in our words in many ways. And if we're really going to change, the first step in every area of our lives is to admit that there's a problem. And so if you're at that place, man, praise God. Congratulations to you. If you're at that place where you can just admit, okay, I do have a problem. Yeah, I do lie, or yeah, I do slander, or I do fight, or I do argue, or I do say these horrible things to people. Because the first step, if you want to follow James's way of fixing this, of taming the tongue, is to admit that there is a problem. Yeah, it's hard for me. I am critical, or I am a cynical person, so I just look for the worst in everything. So I do criticize, or yeah, if I'm left to myself, I do slander, I do lie. And you just come to that place where you realize, okay, the Bible is right. I can't bless God with the same mouth that I'm cursing people. If I want to be a Christian, if I want to live the life of a Christian, then I have to learn to begin to bless people. I have to learn to begin to give life. Everything that I'm saying is either stealing life or giving life, either adding value or taking value. So we got to learn that we need to begin to bless people. We know that it needs to change. So then what do we do about it? So back to verse 7. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. So it's kind of an odd thought that he starts off with here until you remember he's setting the stage to show us that you can do a lot of things on your own. He's saying humankind has learned to tame, even in biblical times, all these animals. Like I can make a killer whale do flips. I can do all these things. We can tame all these different things. The problem is, in verse 8, is that no human being can tame the tongue. So he's saying you can do all these things under your own power, but no human being can tame the tongue. Human beings have done fantastic things. We've been given giftings and spirit. We've been giving gifts and abilities and things by God to do amazing things. But he's saying nobody can tame the tongue. And so I don't know if that's news to you this morning, but you cannot tame your tongue. You can make, like I said, a killer whale do flips, but you can't handle your own mouth. You can't handle your own tongue. Not one of us has the willpower to change itself. It says it's restless and full of deadly poison. So we admit that there's a problem. I need to change the words that I'm speaking. But then the second thing we have to do is that is accept you cannot change it yourself. And that's a hard place for a lot of people to come to. All right, I think it's a big step that we can take to accept that we cannot change it ourselves. You don't have the ability to change it on your own. So this is not a legalistic condemnation message where I'm trying to say, well, you just need to change. You just need to fix it. Just go home and figure it out and come back and fix it. That's not what this message is about. You come to the place where you say, okay, left to myself, I am going to manipulate. I am going to gossip. I am going to lie. I'm going to do the things that I'm ashamed of that are bringing death to my relationships. It's where I default to. You come to the place where you say, okay, I can't change it myself. So what do we do? Back to our text one last time, verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? So he's saying, can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? It's deeper than just a surface issue. It's deeper than just, I told you the tongue is the indicator of spiritual unhealthiness. The tongue is just the surface. The spring on top is just the surface. It's a source issue. That's the problem. There's a source issue. Verse 12, he says, my brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? I don't know if you've got a fig tree in your yard, but what he's saying here is that you can't find oranges on an apple tree. Each produces according to its kind. That's a law that God set up in Genesis when he set the world into motion. He made it a law. Each produces after its kind. You produce what you are. And that's the point James is making. You can't make something that you're not. What's coming out of the spring, the words that you say, the things that are indicated, they're indicators of what's inside. You can't say things if that's not what's inside. You're not going to be able to have a freshwater spring. And so he tells us in verse 13, you can't produce, neither can a salty spring produce fresh water. So he's saying in this battle to change your words, at the end of the day, everybody, you're too salty to be sweet. This is biblical, all right? I'm not just, it's in the Bible. You just got a little bit too much salt in you to be sweet. It's not a willpower issue. It's not a, well, I just will myself into doing this. It's not something on your spiritual to-do list, like we're just all going to put a quarter in the cuss jar because we're just not going to say those words anymore. We're just going to have a list because, you know, Bible says that. So we're just going to have a list of words that we don't put into our vocabulary. That's not what this message is. Message is saying the things that flow out of you, if they're not fresh, if they are a salty thing, then it means there's a source issue inside of you. I hope we realize there's something deeper wrong, and we realize how healthy and mature that we are by the words that we speak. So number three this morning, what we really need to do is allow Jesus to change our hearts. You don't have a words issue, you have a heart issue. The words are just an indicator. They're just a healthy indicator, and it's nobody else that's condemning you, nobody else. Every single one of us struggles with this. But by the words that we speak, we indicator of the healthy and the health issues that are going on inside of us. I've got a source issue. The Bible tells us it's the heart that is the source of the words that we speak. Luke 6:45 says, out of the overflow of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, what's in your heart is going to overflow. And that's what the words that you're saying. That's the true indicator. You don't have a language problem. You've got a heart problem. You don't have a vocabulary issue. You have a heart issue, a source issue. And so we need to fix that inside of us. And so when I'm checking out at Costco, or I'm in the line at Walmart, or I'm somewhere, right, and that person in front of me can't figure out how to write a check, even though they've written a check all their adult life, and I'm late for something, and I just want to say words that is not good for anybody to say, let alone a pastor to say, right? I want to say those things. That's not because I'm late, or because of that person, or because of that particular thing. That's because there's frustrations and things inside of me that have been building up. And now they're deciding to come out in that moment. I don't have a Costco issue. I've got a heart issue. Right? I don't have a time issue. I don't have a schedule issue. I've got a heart issue. Because you can't have fresh water flowing from a salty spring. And so here's the principle. I want you, if you're taking notes, write it down. You can't change what you say until Jesus changes who you are. This is not a surface issue that you can just fix under your own willpower. This is not something that you just make a 1, 2, 3 and... If I could just do those things by myself, I think I could fix what I say. You can't change what you say until Jesus changes who you are, until he changes the source issue. That's why when he came and brought his message that changed the game from Old Testament to New, when Jesus came into the earth and he changed the game, he said, it's not about the law. It's not about following rules anymore. It's about the heart. It's about changing the heart. The heart of why you do what you do. The heart of why you say what you say. Then that's when everything else changes. When Jesus changes your heart, that's when all these other indicators, because they're not the proof, they're just indicators of what's been happening. They're not the salvation in and of itself. That's not what this is all about. I'm going to give you a list of rules that you need to follow. They're just indicators of a heart change, of a source issue. Whatever's in your heart is determining what you do. Whatever's in your heart is determining what you say. So we got to begin to change that. We need to, and a lot of us, the truth is, a lot of us are struggling with the things that we say because of words that were spoken over us. A lot of us are walking through life with pain and with validation issues and with these wounds inside of our hearts because of words that were spoken over us. Because we weren't validated, I wonder how many of us are dealing with the fallout of the words that we've spoken. And I wonder how many of us are dealing with the fallout in our life where things were spoken over us and now we're repeating the cycle in the words that we say. And now we're repeating the cycle in the words that we say, and we're speaking death into our finances, and we're speaking death into our careers, and we're speaking death over our families and over our children and over our marriages. And we're letting that cycle repeat itself. We're not recognizing that that wound was caused by whatever it was, words that were spoken, and now we're speaking those same words. And you catch yourself saying the same things that hurt you so deeply, and now you're hurting someone else. And we're letting that affect our lives. And we're trying to navigate the fallout of the things that we said. And I think it's time for us to allow God to really change our hearts, to change that source issue. So then the things that overflow are things of blessing and the things that give life instead of taking it. Things that give life, that speak value into people. Let that overflow out of our hearts. It's not because we need to try harder. It's because we need God to change us. It's not because we need to try harder in the things that we say. It's not because we need to somehow do something on our own ability. We need God to change us. One last verse for you out of Psalms 19. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Why? Because those two are connected. Those two things are connected together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, David prayed, be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my rock and my redeemer. So let those words be acceptable. Let them be, because let it be a heart issue. Change my heart so that the meditations and the words that I speak, let them be acceptable. I pray that every day, the things that we meditate on, the things that we say, let them be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. And I pray that for you as well. Let those things, let the things that you meditate on, let the things that you look at, let the things that you have, let their heart be changed by God himself. I told you, this isn't a try harder message. This is allow Jesus to change the inside of you so the source is changed, so then the things that you say suddenly come from that true source. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we pray that you would touch us. God, we pray that the words are showing the direction of our lives, Lord. And so we pray that you would begin to change the source inside of us, that we would be fresh water springs, God. We wouldn't let these other things pollute it, God. We wouldn't be pulling, God, from a source that is polluted. Lord, we wouldn't let those things pollute the things that we say and the things that we attack others with, God, in our words. Help us to change the inside. God, we pray that you would touch our hearts, God, because these toxic things that we've allowed to get in deep, we need you to heal us from the inside out. So every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Some of you are saying these toxic things. Some of you are living these toxic lives because of words that were spoken over you. And I'm going to pray that God would heal your heart today so you could change the course of your life. And some of you don't have God's power available to you this morning because you're far from God. Some of you are saying, I want that. I want him to change me on the inside out. I want that for my life. But some of you are saying, I'm a million miles away from him. I'm far away from God. And chances are, the reason that you are far is because of someone or somebody, whether somebody in authority or a person in religious authority, a pastor or a preacher or somebody, it could have been a coach, or it could have been someone that you loved or trusted. Somebody spoke something to you so hurtful and so painful that it caused you to turn away from everything. The reality is, a lot of times it caused you to turn away from God himself. I want you to know that the words that God speaks over you is that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he's not looking to get even with you for the mistakes that you've made. He's not looking to punish you. He's not looking to bring the judgment down upon you right now. He's looking to love you and to rescue you. And so I don't know what words were spoken to you. I don't know what wound you carry on your heart. I don't know what drove you away from God. But I'm telling you this morning, he's waiting for you with open arms and he loves you. He loves you. He wants to rescue you. He wants to touch you and he wants to heal your heart. He wants to change the source. The Bible says if we're willing to turn over our lives to him, he will make us brand new. He will change the course of your life. So if that's you this morning, if you say, you know what, I want to pray. It's the most simple thing in the world. If you say, if that's me, I want to pray that prayer. I want to change the source inside of me. Say, I have been far from God, but I want to come back. Let this morning be the morning that you come home. So I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come to the front. This moment's not about embarrassing you or singling you out. It's about connecting you with Jesus. It's about connecting you with a Savior. And so this morning, if that's you, if you say, include me in that prayer, I want to pray that. I want to come back to Him. I want Jesus to change me. If that's you this morning, nobody else is looking around, but would you do me the favor? You say, include me in that prayer. Would you just reach up your hand this morning? Just stretch it up. Great job. Thank you in the back. Thank you. You. Thank you, guys. Great job. Is there anybody else? You say, include me in that prayer. You want to join those who raised their hand? We just want to pray with you this morning. I can give you the words. It's that simple, but you got to pray it and believe it. Is there anybody else? You want to join those five? Is there anyone else you say this morning, include me in that prayer? We're just going to pray this morning. We're all going to pray with you as one church. And if you're watching online or I didn't see your hand, heaven saw your hand. You say, I want to pray that. You just got to say it with your mouth and believe it with your heart. So come on, church, let's pray with these. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Today I surrender to you. Lord, I ask that you would change me. God, make me brand new. I pray you would help me see myself as you see me. And today I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. God, I pray over these people this morning, Lord. God, I pray over this church, myself included, God, that you would start to change our hearts. Lord, that in every word that we say, that we would be life givers. God, we would add value to people, God, that you would change the source inside of us. God, I pray that we repent, Lord. I pray that we would come before you in repentance. God, for the words that we've spoken. Lord, for the times that we've torn down people. The toxic things that we've said. Times that we've spoken death over our lives, over our families. God, we repent. And we ask you to change us. God, reach into every part of our heart and change who we are so that we can change the words that we speak. God, that we would follow you with everything that we are, Lord. God, I pray that you would begin to heal us from the inside out. God, I pray that as you touch our hearts today, Lord, that we would begin to be a breath of fresh air to the world around us. God, that we would be your ambassadors. God, we begin to speak life into people's lives. God, I thank you for the miracle that you're doing in our lives today. I thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's church said, amen and amen. Come on, guys, can we put our hands together for what God has done this morning? Come on, stand up with me this morning. Stand up with me. We're going to end our service just praising and worshiping him for the change that he puts inside of us. And we can live out this life that God has called us to live. Come on, let's praise and worship him this morning.